the prayer that's been offered by our brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would ask that each one of you would pray for us during this time that I would stand before you. It's good to see you this morning. My prayer is that we would have the manifest presence of our Lord and Master, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our help, to be our guide. If you have your Bible with you this morning and you'd like to read along with us, please turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6. This was the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches in that region of Galatia. So this letter was to more than just one church. The church at Antioch was the church that received this. Probably the church at Derbe, Lystra. The Apostle Paul is closing his letter to these churches here in chapter 6 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul said, "But God forbid." Meaning, let everything come to pass but this. God forbid. "That I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision." What is he saying there? It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or uncircumcised. You haven't impressed God either way. "But a new creature, a new creation." Verse 16, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God," which means the family of God, God's Israel. The Bible teaches us an Israel by grace, and it teaches us an Israel by race. He says, upon the Israel of God. In verse 17, he said, "From henceforth," that means from now on, "let no man trouble me." Wow, the Apostle Paul seems pretty settled in this truth, doesn't he? I don't have time to argue about it. "Don't let any man trouble me about this anymore. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." What is he saying? I've been whipped and I've been beaten concerning what I believe, and I still believe the same thing. "So don't let any man trouble me anymore." And he said, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." What was the Apostle Paul's purpose in writing this letter to these churches at Galatia? The Apostle Paul, Barnabas, other disciples had come to this region and they'd preached the gospel, they'd preached the truth. They preached salvation by grace and grace alone. They preached to them timely deliverances that they could enjoy as children of God by just doing what God said. They preached to them time salvation. That if we'll believe the truth and obey God, we can have fellowship as His children with Him in this world. But there was others that came to this region, and they didn't preach that. If you go to Acts chapter 15 and verse 1, we have a record of individuals that came down from Judea, and they taught the brethren, "Except you be circumcised after the law of Moses, you can't be saved." What were they saying? Unless you've done what Moses said do, and you're circumcised, there's no way you can be born again children of God. Can't be that. The Apostle Paul disagreed with that. In Acts chapter 15, Peter preached and disagreed with that when he said, "We believe that we should be saved by the grace of God as well as they." Meaning this, we're all saved for heaven the same way. And we as children of God have temporal blessings by believing this truth. You know, when we take that text there in Acts chapter 15, we could insert almost anything in law, and we haven't done any damage to the text. "Except you be circumcised after the law of Moses, you cannot be saved." Okay, let me insert this. "Unless you have believed the truth in the gospel, there's no way you can be a born-again child of God." Still law. The Apostle Paul would disagree with it and say, "Henceforth, let no man trouble me with this." What if I inserted this? Except you've been baptized in a pool of water, there's no way you can be a born-again child of God. Still law. The Apostle Paul would say, henceforth, let no man trouble me with this. I can insert this. Except you believed and you held on and persevered unto the end and done right, no way you can be a born-again child of God. Still law. Still something required of men. The Apostle Paul would say, henceforth, let no man trouble me. The Apostle Paul, all the way through this letter, confronted this false teaching. All the way through this letter, declaring the truth of eternal salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the first time that I was asked to stand before the Lord's people, I used a verse from the book of Galatians. And it's found in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21. First time that I stood before the Lord's people. The pastor of the church had asked me and asked me and asked me, and I continued to decline. And there was a young preacher that was going to fill in that Sunday for the first time, have all the time himself. His name was Elder Kerry Lathrop. And the pastor of the church and the deacons asked me to introduce service because they knew that Brother Kerry and I were very close. I mean, we were like brothers. And they said it'd make Kerry feel more comfortable. He'd probably be less nervous. Brother Ronnie, if you'd just stand in the floor and introduce service. And I used Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21 when the Apostle Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What is he saying? I'm not setting aside the truth of the grace of the Lord and teaching eternal salvation for law. Because if I do, I've just said Christ did nothing on the cross of Calvary. If I said eternal salvation, our heavenly home, is by something that I've done or what you've done, you just as well say Jesus Christ, what he did was for nothing. Jesus didn't have to even come into the world. All I had to do is just keep something God told me to do. The verse right before that is a verse that's very convicting to me. When the Apostle Paul declares how he is saved by grace, he said, I am crucified with Christ. What is he saying? My eternal salvation is all in that cross and me being represented in him that died for me. And because he died for me in my room instead, I am now dead to the condemnation of sins. There's a difference in being dead in sin and being dead to sin. We by nature were dead in sin, but by what Jesus done for us on the cross, we're dead to the condemnation of sin. Meaning this, Jesus died to all our sins. We cannot be tried before the court of heaven. Why? We're dead to sin because Jesus died and satisfied the only court that mattered. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And notice this, because Jesus did this for me, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Because Jesus did this for me, you know what I'll do? I live by his commandments and what he told me to do. And that's a reasonable service. We haven't done anything great. What shall I render unto God for all his benefits toward me? Back to Galatians chapter 6. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Henceforth, let no man trouble me. You know, all the way through this letter, the Apostle Paul displays his understanding of the difference in eternal salvation and time salvation in the truth. He understood that there's a difference in regeneration, the new birth, and the conversion of the child of God's mind. The Apostle Paul displays he understands the difference in life and enjoying life. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus Christ makes this statement about himself. In him coming into the world, he said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He came into the world that we, the children of God, would have life in him, him dying for us on the cross. He came into the world and taught the truth. He said truth in the earth. He gave us the church, that we can enjoy that life, having this life abundantly. God's children will have life. And every born-again child of God that's in this world has eternal life. Have you ever heard someone say, well, someone passed the other day, they died, and now they finally got eternal life? That's not true. Now, they may be enjoying it in a better way than we enjoy it. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, I believe it's in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. If Jesus is in us, we possess eternal life. We have it. We're born again children of God. We're in him and he is in us. But not every child of God enjoys that life. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 6, Solomon is writing to his son Rehoboam, and he says, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Now, if he doesn't forsake the foolish, will he still be alive naturally? Yeah, he'd be alive naturally. He just will not be enjoying his life. He can destroy his life. And how many children of God are in this world have life in them, but they don't enjoy the life that they have? One of the purposes of the gospel, we've already said the primary purpose should be glorifying God, is to preach to the children of God these unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can enjoy the life that they have in Christ Jesus. They would have that life and have it more abundantly. You know, here in the house of God, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you've ever participated in a communion service, you get to see that life enjoyed abundantly in that fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with one another. That's one of the reasons I wanted to be a member of the church. When I saw the fellowship and the love they had toward one another in the Lord, I wanted to be part of that. I wanted to experience that and have that abundant life in Jesus right now. Life. Enjoyment of life. Life. How do we have life? How do we have eternal life? Apostle Paul said it's not by law. Apostle Paul said it's not by anything we've done. We have life, brothers and sisters, by the direct work of God, by his grace and his grace alone. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, I love these words. When he had by himself purged our sins. You know what that means? That means he did it by himself. Simple enough, right? My daddy used to say, good country boy preaching will always bless the church. Good country boy preaching. Jesus did it by himself. The Bible teaches us over in the book of Isaiah, he looked and there was none to help. And he wandered and there's none to uphold. Therefore, my own right arm brought salvation unto me. Jesus did it by himself. There was none to help. Everybody was against him. And he did it. And he did it for us. And we have eternal life by his grace and his grace alone, not by anything that we've done. It was by grace that we, the children of God, were chosen in him before the world began. That's what election and predestination is. Before the world began, God loved his people and gave them to his son an eternal covenant of grace. Redemption. Jesus Christ came into the world and died on the cross to give eternal life, according to John chapter 17 and verse 3, to as many as the Father hath given him. You know how many is going to be in heaven, brothers and sisters? As many as the Father gave to the Son. That's how many. I told a person once, I know exactly how many people is going to be in heaven. You do not, Brother Ronnie. The Bible says it's like the sands of the sea and the stars of heaven. I said, I do know exactly as many as the Father gave to the Son. That number, and not one greater, not one smaller. As many as was foreknown and predestinated, all those would be called and all those would be justified and glorified. As Brother Fred Lee said that text in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 and 30, ain't got no leaks in that bucket. The new birth, born again. Synonymous terms all the way through Scripture, like you go to Ephesians chapter 2 and you hath he quickened. That word quickened there is synonymous with the new birth. It's God made us alive. Now, there's more than one context of quickened in Scripture. Sometimes being quickened means to be revived, like Psalms 119. You'll see David use that word quickened, like to be revived.
But there in that context, it means to be made alive by the direct work of God. Regeneration. The word regeneration, synonymous, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it means a complete renovation, meaning God took something out and put something in. He took out our stony heart that we had by nature and put in a heart of flesh, a life that's in us. And all this work was done not through a preacher, not through a deacon, not through a mama's prayer, not through us begging and crying. No, it was done by the direct work of God. And if you're able to hear the gospel, if you're convicted of your sins, if you long to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's evidence that God directly did that work. I love this text over in Jude, verse 3, when Jude makes reference to the common salvation. You know what that word common means? It means having things alike. My little girl, Sarah Beth, she's in church building today. I remember when she was little, I had on a shirt, and she come out of her room and had the same color shirt on that I had. You know what she said? She said, "Daddy, we match." She understood about having things in common. We matched, had the same color shirt on. Well, if something is in common, it means we all got it the same way, right? Right? Common, same way. How are we eternally saved? By the direct work of God or by work of the law? Okay? We all got it the same way. Do you believe there'll be infants in heaven? Do you believe infants that die in the womb will be in heaven? Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe infants that die in infancy, it's going to be in heaven. I can take you all the way through the Bible. Jeremiah 31:15, Matthew chapter 2, all the way through the Bible. I can prove it to you. Now, how do those infants do this law? How did they do this law? Oh, well, they got to believe the gospel, Brother Ronnie. Where was this at? Now they believe the gospel? What about someone that's born in a foreign land where they'll never hear the gospel preached? Oh, everybody's going to hear the gospel preached. Really? Where's that at now? Do you know there's a lot of people that's lived on this earth that never heard the gospel preached? Matter of fact, the majority of the people that's lived on this earth, a higher population, do not hear the gospel in Jesus Christ. What about them? I guess they all go to hell? Oh, no, Brother Ryan, they can't all go to hell. I don't believe they all go to hell either. What about them? How do they go to heaven? Whatever I'm teaching about them being in heaven, I got to teach about me being in heaven. How about John chapter 3 and verse 8? How many of you can quote that verse? When Jesus said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is some of them that's born of the Spirit." Go back and read that for me. See what that says. It didn't say that. So is every one of them that's born of the Spirit. Everyone is born of the Spirit the same way. We're all born again children of God the same way. You know, David, the Bible says that God hath made him to hope on his mother's breast. Oh, is that in the Bible, Brother Ronnie? Yes. Psalms 22. David said, "God made me to hope on my mother's breast." He had hope because the God of all hope born him again and put that life in him when he was on his mother's breast. What about Moses? Moses was 3 months old. Exodus chapter 2, his parents saw that he was a goodly child. "I thought there's none that doeth good, no, not one." There's not without God's grace, but they saw the grace of God in him. What about there in Acts chapter 11 when Barnabas come into this region to preach the gospel to people that never heard the gospel, and the Bible said he saw the grace of God. What did he see? He saw the grace of God in their lives, seeing the evidence of grace before the gospel was preached. What about Cornelius, who never heard the gospel preached? Go to Acts chapter 10. He shows all the evidences of grace in his life before he ever heard the gospel. How did they get that, Brother Ronnie? By the grace of God, and to be by the grace of God that we'll all be in heaven. And I am not going to stand up and say I've done anything to earn it. I have not. If I got what I deserved, it'd be an eternal burning hell. But by the grace of God, I've got a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that one day I'll be in heaven by His grace alone, by what He done on that cross. That's life. And when someone has that life, they're born again, they're not the same as they once were. You know, years ago, there was a man that sometimes we use words inaccurately. And a lot of times the reason we do is we watch too much TV and they use them inaccurately. You know, sometimes you hear people use the words like theory. You know what a theory is? A theory is a proven hypothesis. That's what a theory is. Hypothesis is just an idea that's being tested. There was a man, it wasn't a theory. Wouldn't he think back about it? It was just something he thought. You know, sometimes people start thinking about things, and the best thing they should do is just stop thinking about it. Go read your Bible. Man thought, he said, well, you know, when a man's born again, he's no different than he was before he was born again. You know, brothers and sisters, that sounds kind of okay when you just listen until you read the Bible. And you read the Bible, you find out that's not true. That was later called the hollow log doctrine. That's what it was called, hollow log. You know, the rabbit went through the log, and there's no difference in the log. When God's grace takes its abode in a person, the child of God, that person is not the same. They now have the life of God in them, whether that would happen in their mother's womb, sometime in their life, or toward the end of their life. That's all in God's hands, and when the person will be born again, but that person is not the same. You know, when a person is born again for the first time, they feel the guilt of sin. Why? Because they see themselves as a sinner. Remember Acts chapter 9, it was Saul of Tarsus. You remember he's on his way? Boy, I tell you, he was beating the saints of God. He hated the church, and there was one stronger than him that struck him down. You know who that one was? It was the God that struck him down. You know what happened to Saul? Oh, he just went on his merry way. Oh, he's the same just as always was. No. He couldn't even eat and see for 3 days. Have you ever had just your errors of your life overcome you to the point where you couldn't eat, you're sick to your stomach? Never have you? Oh, I'm probably the only one. I've had times in my life where the errors of my life overcome me so much I couldn't even eat. I was just sick at my stomach. I can't believe I've made a mess like that. You know what that is? It's evidence, that guilt, that you're born again. Psalm 73 and verse 5 says, the wicked are not troubles of the men, neither are they plagued as other men. The wicked has never been convicted about his sin. Now, he may be sorry he got caught for doing wrong, but if you have guilt of sin, you are not the same as what you were before you were born again. We are conceived being dead in sins, but by the grace of God, we're able to see our sins. And you know, it's so convicting, you think, well, this is bad. Remember the Apostle Paul said there in Romans chapter 7 and verse 9, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I heard a story once about a mom and daddy had a boy, and the boy was real rough. They said they couldn't get control of the boy, and man, he's just all the way through school, always in trouble. Mom and daddy had to go to school, visit. That's not me, by the way. Always had to visit school, talk to the principal, always in trouble. One day they come home from church and heard the boy, he was crying. Daddy said, what's wrong, son? Daddy, I hadn't done right. I'm sorry. I've just treated you and mama bad. I've treated God bad. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. And his mom and daddy just smiled and they started rejoicing. And he said, what are you smiling about? He said, I believe you're going to heaven, son. This is good news to us. You finally felt the guilt of your sin. But what felt so horrible to him was good news to them. Why? Because they understood. This young man's not the same. Being able to understand and grasp spiritual things. You know, the natural man doesn't grasp spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, the natural man, that's the man that's not born again, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. It's beyond his nature to be able to grasp them. He cannot. Do we understand that about nature? You know, someone said everybody can do everything they want. They can do everything within the nature that they have. You know, I got a little dog here at the house. Well, it's really not mine. It belongs to Sarah Beth and Joshua. His name is Sparky, and we all love Sparky. You know, Sparky, he does all the barking. He won't stay until I tell him to be quiet. I mean, he runs all around that fence yard there. I mean, he's got a place. Me and Brother John Little was laughing because he comes around the corner of that barn. He's got it all banked out where he comes around that corner. But, you know, I never saw Sparky talk on a cell phone. Well, why not? It's beyond his nature to be able to do so. See, the man, before he's born again, he has a nature. He has a natural life, and he does things within that nature. He can converse with another human being, but spiritual understanding is outside that nature. When a person is born again, now the life of God has been implanted in them, and now they have two natures in one person. Not two people, one person, two natures in one person. And that nature they have within now is able to receive and understand and grasp those spiritual things of the Lord. What did Jesus say in John chapter 3 and verse 3? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that word see there mean? It means to be of experience. Unless a man is born again, he cannot experience any of the spiritual things of God. Remember, it was Simeon. Remember, he waited on the consolation of Israel and the Lord to come. He knew the time was at hand. Joseph and Mary brought Jesus, the babe, in there, and Simeon held him in his arms. And he said, "Now let us thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." It was revealed to him of the Holy Ghost that he would not see death. What does that mean? Experience death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. God told him that. So the word "see" means to experience. Unless we're born again, we cannot experience any of those things of God. If we're able to experience the things of God, if the gospel is good news to your heart, if you love the Lord, if you show forth any of the fruit that's found in Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance, those are all evidences you're born again, child of God. You're not the same as what you were. God is in you. Okay, Brother Ronnie, now everybody that's born again, everybody that's saved eternally, all of those are going to believe the truth, all of those are going to do right, and all of them are going to join the church, right? Wrong. And anybody that says that is not preaching the Bible. It's the very thing the Apostle Paul stood against. Now, I'm going to use some terminology this morning, and this is going to be my definition, okay? I want you to think about a word, and let's say, I'm going to put it in this tense, Arminianism. Now I'm going to use another word, Calvinism. And I'm going to tell you, I am neither. I'm not an Arminian, and I'm not a Calvinist. James Arminius, Arminian doctrine, he was not the first person to preach it. He was just the person that claimed it. He said, unless a person does certain things, taking these steps, doing this, there's no way he can be a born again child of God. You know what that is? That's law. That's what Paul is preaching against here. It's law. It's not the truth of the Bible. Later on, there were some people, and you know, John Calvin sometimes gets credit for this, but there was actually people that taught it for him. John Calvin said, unless you do these things, it's just evidence you never were born again. So if a person doesn't believe the gospel, if a person doesn't obey God, if a person doesn't persevere in righteous things, it's just evidence he's not a born-again child of God. You know really what that is? It's the same thing, just coming in a different door. Now, this position here has been associated with what we've called absoluters in times past. And I'm going to tell you, Elder C.M. Mills and Elder Newell Helms stood against that their entire ministry. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, if it hadn't been for those two brethren standing against all that, North Carolina would have had a lot more absolute churches than they do right now. Elder C.M. Mills and Elder Newell Helms stood against that. They stood against that on this property. I can take you back and show you tapes where they preached against that. Because it's really the same thing, just from a different door. Well, Brother Ronnie, what are you preaching? I'm preaching that we're all saved by the grace of God, and we should preach this truth, but we should not be judgmental in saying who's going to hell. That's what I'm saying, because I don't know. I'm able to see when someone comes forward to join the church, the grace of God, but just because someone does not believe the truth, just because someone, I don't see them doing right, that does not give me the authority to say I believe they're going to hell. No, that's in God's hands, not in mine. Brother Ronnie, if they don't believe the truth, how could they be children of God? All the way through the Bible, I find people that are children of God that didn't believe the truth. I got a good question for you. What do we call the truth? What is the truth? You know, the truth is the truth. And a lie is a lie. You know, there's a lot of ways to tell lies, but there's only one way to tell the truth. I know there's a lot of ways to tell a lie, tell lies, because I've watched news on a lot of different channels. Amen to that. Only one way to tell the truth, and the truth is the truth. You know the truth is the truth. I don't care who believes it or doesn't believe it. It's still the same. It's the truth. Remember Pontius Pilate asked Jesus Christ, what is truth? What is truth? He was standing in the presence of truth personified. What is truth? I tell you what truth is. Truth is Jesus. And what he taught is truth, and his word is truth. If it doesn't agree with that word, it's not truth. Well, all the children of God will believe the truth. What is truth? What do you call truth? Well, anybody that says anything about Jesus, that's truth. Really? Really? Well, there's a lot of people preach a lot of things about Jesus I wouldn't preach. There's a lot of people preaching things about Jesus I don't believe. There's a lot of people preaching a Jesus. I don't know about that Jesus. I do know about this Jesus of the Bible. And this is truth. You know, the Bible teaches us that some children of God, they're out in the world, they won't believe the truth because the devil has blinded their mind. Well, the devil, you know what he works on? Well, he works on trying to populate hell. That is a lie. He's not trying to populate hell. He knows he hath but a short time to trouble the children of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, he's here to blind the mind of them. Elder Travis Brown preached that to us just a few weeks ago. He blinds the mind. He doesn't blind the heart. I'm going to tell you, the child of God knows God in their heart, but I tell you, their mind can be corrupted by all the false teaching of Jesus. Someone says, there's no way a child of God can be an atheist. Are you kidding me? There's enough corruption in this world to corrupt a child of God's mind. The environment that they're in can really affect them. There's no telling what they believe. I told someone, I said, if I would have been born over there in Iraq and in a family of Muslims, you know what I'd be right now? I'd probably be a Muslim. Would that change the fact of God's grace in my heart? It would not. But I tell you what it would change, me understanding those things of God that I'm blessed to understand today. And that's why I'm thankful that I was born the son of Marvin and Faye Loudermilk, who took me to church. Someone says, Brother Ryan, did you use drugs when you were little? I was drugging to church every Sunday, brothers and sisters. I went whether I wanted to or not. Some children of God won't believe the truth because they're afraid. Remember over in John chapter 12? They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They're afraid to be thrown out of the clubs if they believe the truth. You know, that happened to me. You know, when I joined the Primitive Baptist, I got thrown out of a lot of clubs. I can remember walking down the streets of Cornelia and going to my uncle's barber shop, and there's some people talking. They was talking about a preacher that just went off the ledge. Doing the wrong thing. Then got his family all in a mess. He's talking about my daddy. I said, you don't remember me. I said, but I'm little Ronnie. I'm the little boy that was in that church. Me. That's me. Oh, conversation changed then. You can get thrown out of clubs because you believe the truth. I'll tell you, if you're going to do the right thing, there's a lot of people not going to be around you. If you're going to believe the truth, they was afraid. Oh, we can't do this. We can't believe this. Because if we do, we're going to get thrown out of the Pharisees' club. Some children of God are in the world. They won't believe because God is chasing them and judging them. Yeah, God is chasing them. You know, if someone keeps doing wrong, keeps doing wrong, keeps doing wrong, God's children, he'll finally chase them. You know, there's children of God that have been judicially blinded by God. God's not going to bless them anymore because they kept doing wrong and kept doing wrong and kept doing wrong. Brother Ronnie, is that me? Well, if you're worried about it, it's evidence that it's not you, okay? Because people that happened to, they're not worried about it. What about Jesus there? Is it Matthew chapter 11? Let's see, it should be about verse 26, 27. Maybe verse 25 when Jesus said, Father, I thank thee, O Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, but revealed them in the babes. Jesus thanked his Father that he hid some things. Let me ask you this. When someone's dead, do you have to hide things from dead people? Brother Bobby Garner, who's a member of the church down in Georgia, I tried to pastor, he said, Brother Ron, you don't have to hide things from dead people. You ever had to hide anything from somebody dead? I've never had to hide anything from anybody in the cemetery. You have to hide things from people alive. They had disobeyed God and were so wise and prudent in their own self. They were so arrogant. God would not give them that truth to believe. But those people that be humble to God's will and look to him, God would bless them with that truth and they could understand it. Those people could not believe the truth because God hid it from them. And there's people in the world today, God has hid the truth from them. Why? Because they're arrogant. It didn't matter how long I preached to them, I'll never convince their mind. So a lot of God's children, matter of fact, I'll say the majority of them will never believe the truth. Many of God's children will ruin their life in this world because they make wrong choices. Oh, that's just impossible, brother. Right? Someone is saved, they can't live like that. Yes. What about Noah? Would you say God bless Noah? God bless Noah. God gave him the plans for an ark. When the world was going to be destroyed, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah and his three sons and all their wives, eight souls were saved in that ark. You know how many souls that ark was designed to save? Eight. It saved exactly how many. Noah was not begging people to get in the ark. Noah told them about the judgment of God. And by Noah's action in building that ark, he preached the destruction of this world and the sin of this world. But that ark was designed to save no more than those eight. And those eight were saved in that ark from that flood. Wow, Noah was blessed, Brother Scott. Well, surely on the other side of the flood, Noah, boy, he was straightened up, right? Lived perfect. No problems whatsoever. Straight back. I mean, just nothing could go wrong. Noah, after the flood, began to be a husbandman. What he was is a farmer. You know what he did? He made him a bunch of wine, and he became a drunk. Are you kidding me? After God blessed him that much, that born-again child of God was a drunk? Yeah, there's a lot of children of God have trouble with alcohol. Yeah, he did it. Well, did that change his eternal home? Not a bit. Noah's in heaven. Noah was a child of God before the flood. He's a child of God in the ark. He's a child of God to come out. He was a child of God who just got drunk. Am I saying it's good to get drunk? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it doesn't change the fact God loves his children. We shouldn't do those things. But children of God mess up all the time. And I shouldn't stand up and say, boy, I'll tell you what, there's no way they can be a child of God. I mean, that is a Pharisee. Let's go to another one. Let's go to a man named Lot. What about Lot? Anybody ever read about Lot, Abraham's nephew? Would you say God blessed him? Well, he was blessed just to have an uncle named Abraham. God blessed Lot. I find there in Genesis 13, when they all divided up, you know where Lot went? Lot went the wrong way. He lifted up his eyes and looked toward the plan of Sodom. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, anytime we lift up our eyes and look to the world, we're going to mess up. Our eyes should be fixed on the Lord. You know what Abraham said? It doesn't matter which way you go. You go that way, me and the Lord will go this way. You go this way, me and the Lord will go this way. Abraham was just happy to be with the Lord either way he had to go. You know, any way is fine as long as we got the Lord. I love that hymn. Anywhere is home if Christ my Lord is there. Lot goes down and gets mixed up in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what Lot was doing in Sodom and Gomorrah? Oh, Brother Ron, he was really hurting, you know. He was in that ungodly environment. The Bible said he's sitting at the gate of the city. You know what he's doing? He's making a living on that ungodliness. That's what he's doing. In today's world, you know what Lot would be doing? He'd be running one of these places you see on the side of the interstate. That's what he's doing. He's making a living on it. He's making a living on the fornication. His flesh was enjoying the environment. The Bible says that his righteous spirit in him was being grieved. He vexed his righteous soul. His flesh wasn't vexed. He suppressed the goodness in him to enjoy that life alone. Someone would say, well, there's no way a child of God could be out in this world of fornication. That is a lie. Many children of God are out there in the life of fornication. They're not going to miss their eternal life, but they're missing so much of the fellowship of God right now in their lives that you enjoy. You know where Lot is right now? Lot's got to be in hell, Brother Ronnie. Lot's in heaven. His soul and spirit is in heaven, and one day his body will be raised and joined back to that soul and spirit. How is that possible, Brother Ronnie? By the grace of God. And the same grace that saved Lot is the same grace that saved me, same grace that saved you. Children of God make messes all the time. What about the rich young ruler that came to the Lord? Matthew 19:16, Mark 10:17, Luke 18:18. What about him? The Bible said he went away from the Lord sorrowful. Can you show me a place in the Bible where he turned back around and began to obey the Lord? You cannot. It's not in there. He went away from the Lord, but the Bible said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him before the world began. Jesus loved him when he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. Jesus loved him when he went away sorrowful. Jesus loves him now, and he's holding his soul and spirit in his arms in heaven right now. Why? Because it's grace. But that man missed out on something. What did he miss out on? He missed out on fellowship with the Lord. Now, Brother Ronnie, all God's grace is going to get us to heaven. Why are you preaching? You know, my first cousin one time, he said this, Brother Ronnie, if I believe what you believe, I wouldn't even go to church. I said, well, at least I know why you're going to church. I said, I don't tell you why I go to church. I go to church to glorify God and to try to help other children of God to turn from their wicked ways, to enjoy the fellowship of God right now, to have some rest in the Lord and peace in the Lord. So I tell people the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, that they'd have some peace in their life. I'm not trying to get anybody in heaven. I'm not. I believe the Lord will take care of that. But I will preach to my last breath to try to help children of God, troubled children of God that have trouble in this life. If I run into a child of God that's had trouble with alcoholism, drugs, fornication, whatever. I will preach the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to them to help them to be able to see a better way of life, to enjoy fellowship with Jesus right now. Do you know why? Because if it weren't for God's grace, Brother Phil, I'd be in hell myself. And it takes no more God's grace to save Lot than it did to save me. It takes no more of God's grace to save Noah than it did to save me. It takes no more of God's grace to save Saul of Tarsus than it did to save me. God's grace is sufficient to save all of his children. Praise God, all of them will be in heaven one day without the loss of one. And may God give us, the church, preacher's grace to tell more people about the truth. But, you know, if they don't believe it, God help us not to be judgmental. And to think we're self-righteous, I've done something they haven't done. I haven't done anything. Nothing. Jesus done it all. God give me strength. I'm going to preach his glory. And Elder Jeb Owen, he said this one time in a Zoom meeting, and I had to get some help with a quotation. Brother Jeb Owen, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, if you want to find the corruption of politics, all you got to do is just follow the money trail. You want to find some corruption in business, all you got to do is follow the paper trail. If you want to find the truth, you follow the glory trail. Whatever's giving glory to God is the truth. If it's giving glory to man, it's not the truth. May God rest and bless us, our prayer.